Welcome back to the Building People Podcast, where we're having edifying conversations about life, ministry, and culture. I am your host, Derek J. Murphy, and yes, I know it's been a while since we've uploaded a new episode, but life happens, and I hope y'all can understand that. But before we get to anything else, let's have a quick praise report. If you go back and listen to our last episode, episode 17 of season 3, you'll hear me talking about my kids. And I don't really talk about my family much on the podcast, but I have to pause and take a moment to reflect on the fact that I predicted that my daughter would be on the homecoming court, and she has gone on since to become the homecoming queen for Liberty Isle High School 2020, and I'm so proud of her. But more than that, I want to take the opportunity to say congratulations to my wife, Angela Pickett Murphy. You heard her on episode 3 of season 1, back when we were church folks, with Marquita Pruitt, talking about hair care, because she is a licensed stylist specializing in natural hair. She has opened her own salon, Naturally Sweet Hair Boutique, here in the great city of Texarkana, Texas, where she's serving clients from near and far. This is a grand expansion of her business because she's in a salon on her own. And I just want to pause and take this opportunity in this praise report to tell you how much I am so proud of you, and I wish you the best. I know that the world is watching, but they are seeing your greatness unfold. So kudos to you, and I wish you great success in all that you do. Now, let me take a moment to invite you to be a part of our People Building group on Facebook. This group is interactive and a production hub for the Building People podcast. It's designed to spark conversation and community, as well as to serve as a pre-production space for the show. Now, if you enjoy the Building People podcast, I know that you will enjoy this group because we're all about positive inspiration and motivational encouragement. So we invite you to find us on Facebook at PPLBUILDING to be a part of the People Building People community. Building People family, I'm excited about today's guest, because this young lady is like a niece to me. She came around with my nieces, and she's been around the family for so long. It's been like 10, 15 years as far as I can think.
Yeah.
And I consider her to be a niece, even if she doesn't consider me to be her uncle. But I'm so glad to have on the show today Faith Matlock Johnson. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. And it has been about 15 years almost, and I do call you Uncle Derek.
So. So if you will, now you're part of the People Building family group that we have on Facebook, and I appreciate the input that you give us in that group. You do a really good job of engaging the public, and your social media presence is growing. But before we talk about any of that, could you tell us what is it that you do to build people and why?
All right. The main thing that I do to build people is I work with entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs by making sure that they have their businesses in order. I'm an accountant by nature. I do tax preparation, business development, and training. And so what I do is, one, I have a Facebook group called Mind Your Business, where we provide free resources, live training throughout the month to give entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, just different resources, teaching them the proper way to structure their businesses, the best ways to do tax reduction, and set themselves up to be able to be profitable, not just to have an LLC to say you have one.
So So I think we are probably in one of the biggest booms of self-employment, of side businesses that people are setting themselves up to do multiple streams of income. And I think that one of the things that has been sort of an encouragement in the Black community especially is that like some of the major entrepreneurs that we saw come into big money in the 90s. But the times have changed, and you were talking about really making sure that your business is in order, making sure your business is legitimate. Could you talk a little bit more about the hustle mentality? We were talking before we started recording. Talk about the hustle mentality that our community has and appreciates, but how we need to flip it to really understand how business operates.
Right. Absolutely. Like you said, we were talking before, and what I was saying is that with the hustle mentality is you're worried about the dollar, and you're trying to find a way, even though your motivation may be to pay the light bill, to take care of the family, whatever your reason behind it, you're just chasing the dollar and putting the dollar in your pocket. And when you do that, you don't really know where your money's going. You don't know how you can make it expand, how to make it grow. And you don't have any avenues to help you when things like COVID-19 happens. You know, a lot of people missed out on being able to get the EIDL loan just because they didn't have their company legitimized. They had the hustle way. And I'm not saying lose your hustle, but if you're going to hustle, hustle legit, you know, make sure that you have your licenses in order, your business structure, whether it's a sole proprietor, LLC, those types of things, business bank accounts. That's where a lot of people mixed out at, is because, or they weren't filing taxes on it. And all it required to get the EIDL loan was for you to have reported that you had a business in 2019. And so because people didn't do that, because all they wanted was the dollar, or they have an ulterior perspective government than I do, then they feel like, hey, this is my money. I don't want to give the government nothing, so I'm gonna stick all this in my pocket. So now when you shut down, the government is handing out millions of dollars, and you can't participate because you didn't legitimize your business. You basically hustled your way through, and now you're stuck out.
Yeah. So now slow down just a little bit, because all of us aren't very financially sound. So tell us about what kind of loan was that you were saying?
It's called, one was the PPP, which was mm-hmm. the Paycheck Protection Program, and right. The other was the EIDL loan.
That's the one.
Which people don't realize, it didn't become big until COVID-19. But the EIDL loan is actually granted by the SBA every year. It's an economic disaster loan. So when people have like hurricanes or tornadoes, or their area is in a natural declared disaster, your business can actually request an EIDL loan. But a lot of people don't know that. EIDL loan was nothing new. It just became available in the mass for the whole United States versus just one economically declared disaster area.
So you mentioned that people don't trust the government. Mm-hmm. That's one. And two, they're more about the bottom line of having money in their pocket.
Right.
So, but it sounds like to me, when your business is legitimate, that the government has a vested interest in your business making money.
Yes.
That's how the economy works.
That's how it works. I used to have, it's funny because I used to have kind of that mentality, like if I was a business owner, I want to put as much money in my pocket as I can. And the hustle way taught me that just to put it in my pocket and not account for the taxes that I would have to pay or anything like that. But what I realized is by shifting my mind, I had to understand what the government was really created for. And when they created social reform, what they were doing is the government was trying to create these programs to say, hey, we're going to give people jobs. We're going to give people affordable housing. That's what the government thought they could do. But then they realized it was a task too big for them. So now the government is the biggest consumer in the United States. Almost everything they do, they buy from the American people to do for them.
Okay.
So when it came to making those jobs and creating affordable housing, those are the people who the government so-called rewards or give tax breaks to, because you're doing the job that the government for the government instead of them having to create the job. So, and then people talk about the taxes on it. Well, if you work for a regular job, they take taxes out your check anyway. You know, it's the same taxes that you're paying that you would pay. They would take out your check working a regular job. So it's not anything different. It's just that you feel like the government's taken from you, when actually, if you do it their way, they have things set in place to put money, you know, deductions, tax credits, and the EID loan and other grants to be able to help you should you need it.
Well, from a historical standpoint, because I'm a history teacher,
mm-hmm.
from a historical standpoint, what happened was there was this vast difference between the private sector and the public sector. And then the Great Depression happened.
Mm-hmm.
When the Great Depression happened, there needed to be some sort of intervention from an entity that had a lot of money. And mm-hmm. who else had a lot of money in a central location other than the government?
Right.
And so when FDR came up with his New Deal, making a lot of socialized programs, those socialized programs not only benefited American families directly, but it also benefited business owners, small business owners, that it created revenue streams where there was no revenue stream to be in whatever area that you were doing, whatever jobs, whatever programs you were working as your business. The government was able to help you get on your feet and stay on your feet, because the government has a vested interest in your money being made for tax purposes and the keeping the economy going. So then
Right. When
people stop trusting the government, because I think the difference between a paycheck tax and a business tax is that you feel the business tax more than you do the paycheck tax, because you don't see it. You just see it on a sheet of paper, but you never had it in your hand.
Right.
When you have it in your hand and you got to pay it, that's like that's like the saints struggling to pay their tithes.
That's right.
It makes it harder to do, even though it's the same principle.
Yeah.
So you make a very good point that if we understand the government's role in making sure that our businesses are successful at whatever level, because I had this thought earlier this week about how the government bails out all of the industries that are too big to fail.
Mm-hmm.
So you got your auto industry, you got your banking, you got your tech companies that they're too big to fail. But then they turned around and did the same thing for us, small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
All of us, none of us can fail.
If the economy fails, eventually the government fails. Like, right. If there is no money, there's nothing stimulating the economy. Where do we get this money from? The government gets this money from us when we pay our taxes and doing things like that. So if we're not, you know, participating in giving that money back, you know, so that in times like this money can be returned to us should we need it. There's so many funding opportunities out there from the government that people don't even know. Like, there's an organization, if you live in Texas and a few other states, called People Fund. People think you have to have this 720 credit and all this or whatever to be able to get funding from them. And that's absolutely not true. They work with people, they have a program where they work with people with a 580 score, and you can get like $25,000 and up if you got your business in order. But they don't know this, you know, because they don't people aren't educating them, or people, you know, we have this limited idea of how government works and wanting to keep our money. So that's part of the reason why Jennifer and I created Mind Your Business, to let people know there is so much funding out there for you. All the way, people don't even realize that you yourself can tap into the government money, like those government contracts, because the government is one of the biggest consumers in the United States. So they buy everything, just about everything they need. I was looking at government contracts the other day. They had one that was, I think it was $120,000 to pay somebody to deliver pizzas to the middle schools. You see what I mean? It's money out there. We just, people don't know how to get it. And that's one of my missions as an accountant, is to, when I take on my clients, I know sometimes I get on their nerves because they tell me what they have. And when I'm like, but you know, you can do this. You know, there's opportunities to scale your business by tapping into these other streams, because it's, you know, people don't realize you can take your very basic skills that you're using. Like, take, for instance, these people who sell eyelashes and things like that. Well, basically, they know how to create vendor relationships, right? Mm-hmm. So the government needs those things. Like, I know a lady that gets $1 million of contracts. She's never touched a computer in her life, but she buys computers from, you know, the government gives her money to buy computers from wherever, Dell, HP, and ships them to her. And she gets like a $2.1 million contract for that. So another lady that got, like almost a $3 million contract to go pick up the dirty laundry at the hospitals of the where COVID was big. All she did was drive around and pick up the laundry and drop it off at a specific place. Who can't drive and who wouldn't want $1 million to drop off laundry? You know?
Hello. And I'll pay the taxes on that. All of these opportunities, they're not necessarily secret, but they aren't necessarily easy to find. So what advice do you give to an entrepreneur, no matter what type of business they're in? Because the type of people that listen to this show, like myself, I work in basically the inspirational, motivational industry. All right. So I have content that I'm basically marketing, and mm-hmm. all the way to, you know, hairdressers and, people who are actually trade workers. What type of advice would you give to that broad range of people as to how to find these opportunities, or at least to find people who know about these opportunities?
One, I would say reach out to, like, there's a place called SCORE that the SBA gives to for small entrepreneurs, for business owners. What you do is, they basically are people who are retired, and they don't want to not work. So what they do is they become counselors, and they're free. Everybody wants a business coach. You get a free one from SCORE. And so they walk you through whatever process. There's another company called The Catalyst. It used to be strictly for women, but they, when COVID came, they expanded it to anybody that's a small business owner. They walk you through every process of making sure your business is legit. If you want to go through government contracting, they walk you through every process of making sure you can have government contracting. Because what people don't understand is, like I was just saying, is the government buys everything. Like you talked about the hair industry. They just gave somebody a contract, a barber, $90,000 to go cut hair at a year contract for $90,000 to go cut hair at a juvenile detention center. It's guaranteed money. You talk about you being inspirational and content. They pay people to create programs that, you know, to transform people's minds, the consulting side. They pay people $150,000 to come out for 3 days and give a seminar to soldiers on bases on how to create, you know, a good mindset. They pay for those things. And so my encouragement is to connect with people. I think a lot of our times is we don't want to ask. Or we follow and we join the wrong groups. And I was like, I was guilty of that. I was just in groups that were entertainment to me. Mm-hmm. And so I had to kind of look and see, okay, who's doing what I want, and they're going where I'm trying to go. Or they, you know, and I would connect with them. Even if I didn't get to speak to them, I would just kind of follow. I use this, like our phones, our social media, the internet, that's the biggest help you can get. You can Google, SBA is full of resources for small business owners. There's so many things out there. But I would start with SBA. I would start with SCORE. And you can reach out to me because I'm full of resources, because that's all I've been doing for the last 4 months is just attending all these trainings, because I want to be able to give this information to people so that they can get in on it too, because it's just way too much out there for us to fail. And so that's my thing is ask.
Yeah.
Put it on Facebook, just like people put that comment on Facebook. Anybody know who got green pants? I need some green pants today. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Ask.
Well, you know what? It's important to have a team.
And I think
people get the misconception that you have to have people working solely for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's very practical in today's world. I mean, everybody's multitasking.
Yep.
Everybody has, you know, like we said before, side hustles. And so, you know, when you look back at the 90s at someone like, say, Master P, for example, business genius.
Yeah.
Right. And probably doesn't get enough credit for what he built with No Limit, but he had a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need to understand the importance of having a team. What types of, regardless of the business, regardless of the industry that you're working in, what types of people should we be looking to network with and to connect with, like you were saying, in order to build those? And it wouldn't be like a direct, you know, you work for me team, but it would be a quasi team.
Mm-hmm.
That you can use, pull from the different resources. And of course, you know, if they are helping your business, you should be helping theirs. What mm-hmm. type of people should no matter what the industry you are in, what type of people should you be looking to network with?
One of the things that I looked for, and this is just me thinking on a personal side, was I looked for someone that had the knowledge, that didn't, like, you, sometimes we fall for the people, like when we look on social media and try to find these different coaches or just different people who look like they're doing it. We look at the people driving the G-Wagon, you know, and those types of things, and they look pretty, but they don't have they don't really have the business or any information to offer. So I look for people who are freely providing information. One thing that I do, and I know it kind of sounds a little crazy, is I type in a hashtag of what I need on Instagram. Instagram is one of a good tool to use if you use it right. And it gives me a list of people, and I can look at those people and I can tell by their engagement. Like, you look in their comments and see, oh, do they engage with these people? Are they just, you know, posting? And I will follow them. I look for business mindset coaches, because they usually, I think a lot of businesses fail for two reasons. One, financially, because they don't have their finances in order. And two, because they don't have their infrastructure right. And so they don't put processes in place. So I look for people who have those. And then again, I started joining Facebook groups that match what I need, you know. The hashtag helps a lot. The other type of people I look for are people like the SCORE offer, people who've already done it, and all they want to do is provide you information. They have no, those people are sometimes some of the best resources that I've ever used, because they've already done it, and all they want to do is, they don't get paid for it. They're doing it because they love the job.
Right. Well, you can't get no better than free.
Yeah. That's why I said SCORE. And there's a, once you get a SCORE, they give you a whole list of different resources to your, that's specific to your area. SBA is absolutely full of resources. And then, like I said, my one group that I've just become so in tech with is called the Catalyst. And they're based out of Alabama, but I get, and People Fund out of Texas, all of those, each one of those companies, I have a coach from, and each coach specializes in something. And they all came from grants from the SBA. And it's all free. It doesn't cost you anything. There are a lot of coaches out here that will charge you. And eventually some of the information you will want to pay for. There's information that I've paid for, because I needed to go to the next level. But those three resources that I gave you, the SBA, SCORE, and the Catalyst Center, those people, they're already paid. So they're not looking for money for us, because they got grants to do this, you know, versus a coach who needs money and that's how they make their income. So if you are just starting out and it's not in your budget, start with those resources. Start with the free. And I like YouTube, but you got to be careful, because everybody out there just, they're not doing it. A lot of them are not doing it to give you correct information from what, you know, they're doing it for the clicks and the likes and the ad generation. So you have to be really careful when you start listening to YouTube and different things like that. But that's how I found mine. The business coach that I use now is, like I said, the Catalyst. And then I have a chick named Bianca Robinson, that has helped me transform my business, that has pushed me in ways that I couldn't get from the SBA, because they do take on a lot of clients and they're more infrastructure. And so you're eventually going to have to pay for something, but for right now, use those resources.
So shifting gears a little bit, you're a CPA by training, and I ain't going to hold you. I started out, when I started in college, I was going for business administration because I was running from my calling. Mm-hmm. And I hit accounting, and accounting hit me back. So,
you fought me a few times.
It wasn't for me. And when people talk about CPAs and accountants, they have a boring number crunching perspective of the job. But all this stuff that you're talking about sounds very exciting. What would you say to a person who is trying to think of, you know, trying to figure out their career path, not really sure? What would you say to encourage them to at least explore your profession, to get past that thinking that it's, you know, it's just boring number crunching?
To begin with, that the CPA side of it, I'm in my CPA hours, but the CPA, the accounting is not math. that's what people
right.
think.
Right, it's not math.
So it's although we do some number crunching, it's more so that the math has already been done, and we try to figure out how to make the number bigger. So it's not necessarily, I think people think that all it is us sitting in front of the computer, and there's different variations of accounting. Like you have, you know, the bookkeeper level of accounting where all they're doing is just entering the information. Then you have there's audit. That was actually what I really, really wanted to do, was audit, because that's when forensics. The CIA uses accountants whenever they can't figure out a motive of why someone killed something, or why this crime happened. If they can't figure it out, they usually call an accountant. But the accountant can chase the money, and it's usually a money issue.
Financially motivated.
So that's where forensic accounting comes in. And there's just different avenues with audit accounting. You get to travel the world, like, because you're not stationary. You go from to company all over. They fly you in to come look at their books, and then they fly you back home. So, you know, you get these free trips around the world. So I would say, if you are the type of person who likes, organization, because that's what accounting is. It's just organizing and seeing the big picture to go for it. It opens a bunch of doors to a lot of places, like just even the CFO services. You have these, and it in the realm that we're going, you can a lot of this stuff you can start doing from home. Like, you can build your own boutique firm. You don't have to go out to, you know, be under somebody all the time. You can do this stuff from home. You can do it on your terms. And so that's one of the things that made me like accounting, is like, I can control what I do with this job.
See, that's, I might have would have stuck with it if I had that big picture mentality, because I did not do well in accounting. But that, I think that's something that people don't really, especially in our community, we don't have the ability to see the different avenues that can be taken with any particular field of study. Mm-mm. So, like, you know, you tell people that, like me, I tell people I'm in ministry, they have this picture of me in a robe behind the pulpit. And really, my best ministry is in conversation.
Right.
It's not really in the pulpit. And so, you know, there are so many different opportunities in so many different industries that if you just sat down and explored a little bit, just like I didn't even think about, like you said, being flown all over, getting flued out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
For accountants, but that's something that to be considered. If you like travel, and if you like, you know, like you said, the organization, looking at the big picture, that's a great opportunity to see the world.
Yep. I tell people, I said, some of these people that do this investigating, I'll be seeing on Facebook, like they'll look and jump and hear and investigate. I said, y'all should have been an audit. You should have been an audit accountant, because the way y'all be looking for that one little piece of information you need, that's audit accounting all day long. And then my other favorite field that if I hadn't did what I do now with accounting is I would have, because I wanted to be an actress, but people don't know that accountants are on set of movies. But okay. If you look at the movie credits, look at the very last credits, and there's always multiple accountants there, because they have to count the, you know, they do job costing to make sure that they're staying within budget and things like that. So accountants are on movie sets. They're everywhere. They're right. Not just, you know, in the office with their Mr. Magoo glasses on, you know,
right.
Taking away.
Right. And your career field can take you places that other careers can't. So no. Like you said, that's a great opportunity to see the world if that's something that you're interested in. And I think that's a great encouragement to some people that are lacking direction. In this economy, in the world that we live in right now, things are shifting. And this is a great opportunity for people to get into the shift. You talked about, you know, COVID opening up opportunities. And if I could just parenthetically insert that my wife and I were able to take advantage of that and expand her business in a great way so that she can better serve her clients, give them a better experience. And we are out of pocket very little money. Mm-hmm. And it was all because we've been working with your partner, Jennifer. She's our accountant, and she helped us to make sure that we had our stuff together.
Right.
When it came time to actually take advantage of those opportunities, we were ready. And I think that if more people understood that portion of business, that it's not that entrepreneurship is not it's not glamorous.
Mm-mm.
It's hard, and it takes organization and people knowing what they're doing in order to really be successful. Otherwise, you'll be stuck in that hustle mentality.
Yep. And it takes trust. It takes, that's my biggest thing, is being able to trust people to do the things, and trusting myself to know that this is too much for me. Because especially when you're starting out and you don't really have the high capital to do, you know, what the bigger companies are, you know, the other companies are doing, you kind of feel behind because you're not able to get your social media manager, or you're not able to get the logo that you really want, or, you know, those different types of things. Well, me as a parent, I had to learn, like, why am I looking for a social media manager when I got a 16-year-old who stay on social media all day? I can write that off, you know? So, no, yeah. it's way too much that we, you know, there's out there for you to be able to build your business. You know, I saw a comment on Facebook that somebody said they wrote up that their 4 kids was working for them, and I was like, well, good for them. Hopefully they set it up right. And this gives, you can get up to like $12,000 in tax breaks that you don't have to pay taxes on by hiring your kids, you know, so you can make more money. And those are called tax shelters, you know. That's one, is hiring your kids, so you don't have to pay some, you know, that graphic artist or the social media manager $2,000 a month. You can pay your 16-year-old, you know, $1,000 or whatever, you know, $800 a month, and he handles your social media for you, and you save on your taxes at the same time. So that's the reason why, like I said, I had to learn to, one, trust that I can delegate other things. I tried to do wear every hat. I even tried to make my logo. So I finally had to reach out to you and was like, this ain't working. Canva ain't working for me. let me go pay this money and get it done. Cause you waste too much time, and your time is money, trying to do things that you could really just save the money and get somebody else to do. The solopreneur will be broke. You know, if you got, you know, got into entrepreneurship thinking that you were going to run it all and have freedom, that's an oxymoron. They don't even go in the same sentence. If you're going to wear every hat, you might as well go work a 9-to-5, because you're still going to be at this your computer or whatever you do for 60, 70 hours a week, you know?
I'm making note of that. Solopreneur will be broke. That's good. That is good, because I think, and we can end with this. I think you were saying being able to trust people to do their part, basically. Mm-hmm. In the Black community and in the Christian community, we lack that.
Very much so.
And unfortunately, in both of those communities, there is way too much competition and not enough cooperation. Mm-hmm. And what'll end up happening is somebody will be selling brownies, and then somebody will be selling real estate, and they're competing against each other, realizing that it's two different industries.
Exactly. Instead of saying, hey, you selling your brownies, I'm trying to sell this house, won't you bring your brownies, can you bring your brownies over here and sell over here, so we can, you know, have people come look at the house, you know, as advertised, that, you know, they don't want to work together. That's why I think people were shocked that Jennifer and I were like, you know, I think some people wanted us to pit against each other, and we were like, what's for you is for you. Like, I don't want every client. Every client out here is not for me. I do a 3-month session first. And after 3 months, if you don't like me and I don't like you, we can part ways. So, no, you know, it's too many people out here, too many businesses growing, too much opportunity to feel like, you know, you got to fight against your brother or your sister. Like, let's help.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good, because there are so many opportunities for us to grow each other, mm-hmm. and we are missing those opportunities trying to compete against each other. And what it all boils down to is trying to outshine.
Yes.
And if we can work together, we'll all shine together.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to learn how to use it.
Yeah, yeah. All this is good stuff, and I hope that our listeners will take away something to help their businesses. And even if they don't have a business, if they've been thinking about starting a business, hopefully something has been said to inspire them to do so in the excellent way, mm-hmm. Of doing things correctly and making sure that their business is in order. If a person is interested in your services or in your content, tell us, how can we find you on social media, and how can we get in contact with you to have some of your services?
All right. Well, I dub myself as a cash flow strategist, because I'm not just an accountant. you can reach me on Facebook. My Facebook name is Christian Faith, or you can go to the Gabby Day Institute. That's the business page on social media. For Instagram, I am the Christian Faith Official and the Gabby Day Institute. You can also go to my website. It's GabbyDay.com. Miss Jennifer London is updating it because I tried to do it myself. It didn't work out. So you can go to GabbyDay.com and then you can hit me up on there.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to have you on repeatedly as things unfold throughout the year. We're going to have you back to talk to us about what we need to know to make sure that we're on our business.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is the part of the episode where we open up the doors of the church for anyone who needs to come down and repent. And it is Thursday night, November the 5th, 8:44 p.m. And we are still waiting to find out who's going to be the next president of the United States. So I got to take this time to call down Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania. Can y'all please come on? Can you speed up this process a little bit? I know the president is over your shoulder. He got people watching you. But can we wrap this up sometime soon? I feel like I'm waiting for a Lauryn Hill concert. Come on now. Well, that's it. Thank you for listening to the Building People podcast. I want to give a big shout out to Faith Matlock Johnson for being our guest this week. You can find her as Christian Faith on Facebook or as the Gabby Dade Institute. You can follow me at I Am Derek J. Murphy across all social media platforms. Well, all except for Snapchat, because y'all know I don't do that. And let me remind you, you can join our people building community on Facebook by looking us up at PPLBUILDING. And you can join our community and enjoy the content that we share on there. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, make sure that you leave us a review, rate us, and let some other people know about our little bit of inspiration. Last but certainly not least, know that God loves you best. I love you best I can, and we'll see you the next time. Peace.